On everybody, and welcome to the end of September, maybe early October, depending on when this goes out, for the Investor's Digest Market Update for 2019. My name is John Barr, your host. We're here with Prime Homes. So to go ahead and get into this, if it works. Whoops, there we go. So the average number overview in San Antonio for the August-September time frame. So why a three-month spread? It just really depends on when this data actually comes out. And I kind of note it here on the screen of when this data is for. So the average sales price here in San Antonio is just over $277,000, which was a 4.13% increase year over year. Anytime you see that YOY, it means year over year. This time last year, how much higher are the prices? Median sales price up to $228,000, which is a 3.6% increase year over year. Total sales volume, big increase of 7.5% to $3,440. Average rental price was actually flat, and that is the first time we have ever flattened out on an increase over quite some time. We've never gone down since the data that I can collect, and this first time it's actually just held even year over year. We did have a big jump last month, so it's no surprise to see this kind of come down a little bit, but it's something I'm going to continue to watch. The employment was just shy of 1.165 million people, and that is an increase of just shy of 1% year over year, and we increased about 2,275 jobs from the previous month. Unemployment increased to 3.32, up about 1.5% from the previous month. Nothing I'm really I'm concerned with, just considering that we are well below the historical average for the United States, Texas, and San Antonio. So to see a little bit of an increase, not so much. If I see that start jumping month over month over month and continue to climb outside of the norms, then I might be starting to look and see what might be causing that here in the market. Months of inventory for September were 3.3. Now remember, that is something that we judge to see how hot the market is. So when you see months of inventory, the balanced market between buyer and seller on this line demand curve, they say is 6 months. So now what does that mean? That means if no new houses were listed on the MLS and the same amount of consumption continued, it would take 6 months for every house to be sold in the San Antonio market. So anytime that we're below that 6 month, it means we're in a stronger seller's market where there's more demand and not enough supply, which that can continue to drive prices up like we've seen over the last number of years here in San Antonio. It was a little bit of a decrease from the previous month, but still sitting well into a seller's market. So what we're looking at here is our seasons for real estate, and you can see the median sales price going back to June 2010. And we really bottomed out around the 2010-2011 here in San Antonio coming out of that Great Recession. And what you're looking at, why it goes up and down, those are your selling seasons. So we, for ourselves in our business, love to try to collect houses right there in that November, December, January timeframe, because we can ride this wave up when the most demand and the most houses are being sold in the summer months, really between April and kind of into July. And then it kind of tapers off into December, January, which is really the bottom. And then it kind of starts taking off there again into the next selling season. Monthly rents follow really kind of the same amount of trend. What I am kind of seeing is this curve is kind of seems to kind of flatten out a little bit as we've kind of seen it. We got a big jump, but then it fell right back down. So that might have been caused just by some data that didn't get reported correctly, an extra number getting there that pushed the prices up, or like we all landlords hope, rents are really drastically increasing. But like I said, we did remain flat from September of last year to September of this year. So kind of keep that in mind. But something you can use from this is something that we do with all of our rental properties is we make amend right there at the April timeframe. End of April, every one of our leases ends. Even if somebody moves out, we acquire a new property, like we just rented one out right at the end of last month, we only made it for the lease good through the end of April. And we told them, more than happy to extend the lease with you, but we just want every lease to end on the April 31st. And this is the exact reason why, that if we have somebody move out in this kind of time frame, I can catch that next summer month when more people kind of are ready to jump into rental properties, more demand for people moving about the country for summer while school's not in session. And we want to have those houses on the market for that time frame when there's a lot of demand, so we can decrease our vacancies and increase the ROI over long term. 20-year unemployment. Why I watch this stuff is you can kind of really see, like I said, we've hit the historical averages. Why I'm not really worried about such a low unemployment rate currently right now, or any kind of increase. If I saw big jumps and it was starting to get up into that high threes, into the fours, into the fives, and continue, that's when I would start to get worried, because you can kind of see in the last recession how fast this really jumped up from a low of just over 3.5, getting up to 7.5. That's a huge increase, and that's not about a big period of time. So it looks like less than a year that we had that huge jump. So that's why we track this stuff. And if we have an issue, I would start sounding the alarm if I start seeing, hey, 0.5%, 0.7, 0.4, and we're getting, and it's continuing past that 4% unemployment rate. Year-over-year appreciation, something I always track to see how much these houses are appreciating. You can really kind of see coming out of that last recession, like I told you, January 11, 2011, 2012, when the prices were decreasing, how fast it shot up, and it was pegging out at 10, 11% for quite some time. And now you can kind of see the trend starting to drag on. And you can kind of see the total average from June 2011 to July 2019 was a total average of 5.1%, but our 12-month average is only 4.5%. And that has been kind of steadily dropping, as you can kind of see that we have been dropping lower and lower and lower. And I don't think that's any kind of recession indicator. It's just saying that pricing has gotten very high very rapidly, and now we're starting to revert back to the mean, with prices only appreciating where they typically should, a 3-4% year over year. So now the best, most favorite part is like where to market. And I really did kind of drive this off of where is the lowest month's inventory, where is the highest demand for housing based on the month's inventory, as well as properties that I want to hold, because with very low months of inventory and high turnover property, that means that houses are going to increase at a faster pace than what some of the other areas might. So it's really no surprise. I do it two different ways, by price range and by zip code. First, I got my price ranges, and you can kind of see what how I break these down, the number of properties sold, and the months of inventory for those zip codes. So for us, we love to stay under that $250,000 price point for our renovations or rental properties. We'd try to stay under the 200, 150 if possible, just because of there's not a lot of demand. Home builders can't build houses for 150 grand, 200,000 anymore. I mean, land's too high, labor's costs are too high, and materials have gone up drastically. So you can kind of see the amount of inventory that is sold in these price points. And with only less than 2.5 months of inventory on the market, that's a lot. I mean, a very strong demand and a lot of inventory turning over, to where our properties that we have held, we do see appreciation. And some of them, when we buy them, within 3-4 months when we're done doing our renovations, we might see an extra $5,000-$10,000 in appreciation, just because of the price points and where we bought right and at the right time of market, did the renovations and captured a lot of that appreciation and equity. And it's I don't have that on this slide. So now I do it by the zip codes, and it's no surprise to see a lot of these top zip codes are in that sub two. I mean, every one of them, just this one barely crests over that 250,000 of where the best zip codes are for the lowest months of inventory. And a lot of these zip codes are very large zip codes. And you can kind of see, since I've been doing this long enough, pulling this data, I have 2 years of historical information of how much, and you really put what low months inventory will do in just a short period of time, to where in 2 years you're looking at over a 10% increase in value from in 2 years at the 78252, because the average price was 171, it is now 198. So this kind of puts something into context of what these low months inventory can really do, and why we like to target these areas, especially if we can get them for rental properties. Look down here at 78233, from 155 to 189. That's $34,000 in average sale price increase just 2 years. So if you can do what they call like the BRRRR strategy, where it's buy, renovate, rent, refinance, and then repeat, hold it for a couple years, and then you can sell this thing off to capture that equity while having your tenant pay you and try to get some cash flow. I never say to buy for appreciation alone, but if you can find something that holds a little bit of cash flow, if you can get $250, $300, and it's kind of in a high appreciating area, it might be worth holding on to for a period of time. Now, the highest month's inventory. Now, this is not to mean that these are bad zip codes to one thing I want to go back and say. Prices have not increased from zero to 142,000 in the 78227 zip code. There was literally just no sales in August of 2017 in that zip code. So there is no average sales price. That's why you kind of see a zero in there. But now it is becoming kind of a hot area. And I attribute a lot of it is just to the price point, to where prices are high enough now that are someone doing a renovation can buy a property, put capital investment into this property, and sell for a profit, and banks can qualify for those houses. So that's what that really means when you see a zero. Same thing with here is like there was not 0 months in, or there was literally just no sales in August of 2017, so I don't have any data for it. But now back to the highest month's inventory, that these aren't bad zip codes. It's just something you really need to pay attention to, because that means they're, and it's no surprise that a lot of these are high prices. There's a few lower ones in here. Well, actually, this one broke out about even. Typically, what you see is these are some older zip codes, 202, 204, 210 are homes that have are early 1900s, 1920s, 1930s. So these houses need heavy, heavy, heavy renovations to them, $100,000, $150,000 rehabs. So you have a lot of inventory that has appreciated in there just on the land value alone that people have owned for decades that are now selling out that are kind of dragging down the average sales price. But when you see these high months of inventory like this, you really need to ask the question of like, okay, I'm selling into this market. What is my competitive advantage to make sure my property is not sitting on the market for this 7 months or 8 months? Because if you're holding on to a property, hard money loan, and you're borrowing the money like a lot of us do do these renovations, every interest payment, every month, every day is profit off of your bottom line. So you really need to say, all right, I'm going to this zip code, high price point or high months inventory. What do I need to do? Do I need to do some funky stuff in the kitchens and baths that really attribute to that buyer that's buying in this area? Better pictures, landscaping, staging, whatever it is that you need to do to make sure that your property is not sitting on the market for these 7 months. It might be if you can buy at a lower price and undercut the market an extra 10 grand to get you to sell, because 10 grand can eat up very quickly in interest costs when you're dealing with $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 loans. So something to really ask yourself and to keep that in the back of your mind. So that really kind of covers it for this month. If you guys have any questions, or if you're seeing this on YouTube or hearing it on our podcast, I'd highly encourage you to go to YouTube and watch this, or if you're on the podcast. And then if you're watching this on YouTube, definitely go over to primehomes.com and subscribe to the Investor's Digest. You can get a PDF copy of this into your inbox every single month and a link to the video so you can remember it and stay on top of the market. And if you are watching this on YouTube, I definitely highly suggest you go over and check out our podcast wherever you get your pods. Search for An Investor Journey. John is the one that posts a lot of that, and it's tips and tricks and things that we have learned along our journey since we started from nothing and gotten to this point. We give back to the community and really tell things we're learning every single day, tricks of the trade that we have dealing with, whether it be contractors, sourcing materials, attorneys, title companies, sellers. All that stuff is on there. So highly, highly, highly suggest you go over and give that a listen. And if you like it, please write a review. Very active on social media. Come hop on there and give us a heads up on Facebook and Instagram. Otherwise, we will see you guys next month. Have a good